నమో విష్ణు పాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జాయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. టుడే వి రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 6 చాప్టర్ 3 ఎంటైటిల్ యమరాజ ఇన్స్ట్రక్ట్స్ హిస్ మెసెంజర్స్ టెక్స్ట్ 31. తస్మాత్ సంకీర్తనం విష్ణోర్ జగన్మంగళమం అంహసాం మహతామపి కౌరవ్యా విద్యైకాంతిక నిష్కృతం. తస్మాత్ సంకీర్తనం విష్ణోర్ జగన్మంగళమంజసాం జగన్మంగళమంహసాం మహతామపి కౌరవ్యా విద్యైకాంతిక నిష్కృతం. తస్మాత్ సంకీర్తనం విష్ణోర్ జగన్మంగళమం హసాం మహతామపి కౌరవ్యా విద్యైకాంతిక నిష్కృతం. Word to word meaning, tasmat, therefore, sankirtanam, the congregational chanting of the holy name, Vishnuho, of Lord Vishnu, jagat mangalam, the most auspicious performance within this material world, anghasam, for sinful activities, Mahatamapi, even though very great, Kauravya, O descendant of the Kuru family, Vidhi, understand, Aikantika, the ultimate, Nishkritam, atonement. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtana movement is a most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously." Translation responsibly. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtana movement is a most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously." Purport. We should note that although Ajamila chanted the holy name of Narayana imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of contracting sinful actions by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him. But one should not intentionally perform sinful acts. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As we have been discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the previous canto ended with the description of the hellish planets where living entities are put to a lot of suffering. Now this draw the compassion from the heart of Maharaj Parikshit, even though he himself is in a very precarious situation of having to leave the body. But still, he shows his compassion and then he inquires. But this is a sign of an exalted devotee. He is thinking about the welfare of others, even though he himself is in a very precarious condition. So, that's how this canto began, with the inquiry of what is the best process? How can the living entities come out of this precarious condition of suffering? What is the process? How do they atone? Just to add a bit of a twist, Sukadeva Goswami tests Maharaj Parikshit. Oh yes, the living entities, they can perform atonement by doing some rituals. After that, they'll be atoned and they'll be all right. But Maharaj Parikshit said, hang on, I have seen living entities. He was a king, so he has seen, he has experienced. He has seen how living entities, they perform a sin, do an atonement, again go back and do the same sin, again come back and do the atonement. So Maharaj Parikshit said, it's like bathing of an elephant. Manye kunjara sauchavat. So he politely disagrees with that. Then Sukadeva Goswami gives the next alternative. You control your senses, you perform jnana yoga, tapasa brahmacharyena kshamena cha. He quotes that verse and recommends the path of sense control, jnana, detachment, renunciation. That will fix the problem. Maharaj Parikshit was still not convinced. And then Sukadeva Goswami started to describe the process of devotion and the power of chanting the holy name. And that's how the episode of Ajamila was brought into picture. And here, in this particular verse, he begins with the word Tasmat, therefore. So the instruction of Yamaraj to the Yamadudas just finished. There, the summary of the power of the association, the power of the Lord, His name, how it can neutralize all sinful activities, sinful reactions, sinful desires. All of that was discussed. Then the Vishnudutas also, prior to that, described the glories of the holy name. Having described all of that, Sukadeva Goswami connects it to the theme of atonement. Of all the types of atonement, this chanting of the holy name is the best. That's why we see the amhasam for sinful activities. The sinful activities is qualified by an adjective, very, very great, although very great, mahatam api. So, sinful activities which are very great can be counteracted by this sankirtanam, congregational chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, while lecturing on this topic, Srila Prabhupada stresses on this word. It's not just general chanting of any name of the demigod. Here he quotes Vishnu, Sankirtanam of Vishnu. Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu. Jagan Mangalam Amhasam. It is a most auspicious performance within this material world. So Sankirtanam is qualified by that it brings auspiciousness, then it eradicates all sinful reactions. If the living entities want to reach that goal of atoning for their sins, then this is the best process. Having said that, he makes the connection to Maharaj Parikshit. You are hearing this, now you take it seriously. Why is it that being said to Maharaj Parikshit is? He is going to face death in few days. For him to have that complete faith, although he has it, by telling him, and Sukadeva Goswami is instructing the others in the audience and also us, that when a leader takes something seriously, then the followers will also take it seriously. In the Bhagavad Gita purports, Prabhupada explains how within a family, the parents are the leaders. The teachers are another kind of leaders. So when they take it seriously, their followers will also take it seriously. What I'm thought of discussing today is the themes of the power of the holy name, how it eradicates sinful reactions, how it brings auspiciousness. We look at what auspiciousness actually means, how holy name does that. Then the stage of chanting, which is, you know, the three stages, Nama Prad, Nama Bas and Shuddhanam. So this Nama Bhas, I found some points which I thought of discussing that. So, as far as eradication of sinful reactions and the power of the holy name to do that, Vishnudutas themselves have said to the Yamadutas, authorities who are learned scholars and sages have certainly ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process, and one should atone lighter sins by undergoing a lighter atonement. Chanting of Hare Krishna, however, vanquishes the effects of sinful activities, regardless of heavy or light. So in that purport, 6.2.16, Prabhupada makes an important point. One should take shelter of Krishna Balarama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari Krishna, Balarama or Narayana. So this combination of Krishna Balaram reminds me of the sword of knowledge is given by the Lord Krishna, but the power to lift the sword and to cut is given by Lord Balaram. Can you increase the volume a little bit? The power to lift the sword and to cut is given by Lord Balaram. And that's how you see the offensive chanting to go. You need to take shelter of a spiritual master, and only then you can move from offensive to clearing and to Shuddhanam. Jnanasim Achyutabala. So to lift the sword of knowledge and to cut and to engage in the devotional process, we need the help of both Krishna and Balaram. Now this theme of how devotional service eradicates sin is discussed in detail in the Nectar of Devotion, which is a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We'll touch upon a few points from that chapter briefly. So Rupa Goswami describes that the living entity's suffering due to this sinful reactions is of threefold. So you can all remember at least one before you go. So suffering is of threefold. So to remember in a sequence is that there is ignorance, which is the root cause, because you're not aware or you're ignorant of your identity as a servant of the Lord. You're ignorant of the Lord's position. Out of ignorance, you think that this material place is for me and I can enjoy. Because of that, there are sinful desires. The desire to enjoy, that is considered as the bijam. And then, when there is a desire, and then you want to act on it, and that's when it manifests into action. So thinking, feeling and willing is there in the heart, desires, and then when you act on them, then it becomes sin, is actually committed, and then comes the fourth one, which is the suffering. So ignorance, sinful desire, sinful action, and then suffering. This is how Rupa Goswami describes it. Now Lord Krishna in the 11th canto describes that to Uddhava, that the chanting of the holy name and the power of devotional service is so powerful that it can burn to ashes the fuel of sinful activities. So if we look at the analogy closely, we have Prabhupada Prabhu here. He cooks for the deities, cooks for the devotees. Now, his main goal is to cook. His main goal is not to turn the gas and leave it on and burn the firewood or anything like that. His main goal is to cook. For that, the process of burning is being used. So in the same way, acharyas explain that the burning of sinful activities is not the actual goal, but devotion to the Lord is the actual goal. The burning of sinful reactions happens as a side effect. So that is one example of eradication of sinful activities. Now, Nectar of Devotion also describes that a person, when he is born in a higher family or in a lower family, that is a manifest result of his pious or impious activities. So what does it mean, manifest or unmanifest? So I am in a particular body, I have some defects. I can't see without the glasses, so that's a defect. I am born with that defect, This is a manifest reaction of my previous pious or impious activities. Now, the power of the holy name is so great that it can eradicate even a manifest sinful reaction. A person born in a lower family can also become elevated by chanting the holy name. For this, the proof is given by the verse from Mother Devahuti inquiring Lord Kapiladeva, and she glorifies the Lord after the inquiry. Now, why do we always quote Shastras as a proof? Is that Shastras don't keep changing. It's not like you have Bhagavatam and then you have an icon that says updates available, download. No, it never happens. They are fixed. It's like a fixed reference, and that's why Shastras are always quoted, and they are coming from the Lord, and they don't have defects. And that's why, even though Srila Rupa Goswami himself is qualified, when he makes a statement, he backs it up with Shastric references. So Mother Devahuti is telling Lord Kapila that you are so glorious that by seeing you, by chanting your holy name, even a person born in a family of dog eaters. So if you look at this, born in a family of dog eaters closely, that is a manifest sinful reaction. So the manifest sinful reactions can be understood when you have a chronic disease, when you have a tough legal problem, when you are born with less intelligence, dull, and or when you are born with an ugly body. So these are all manifest sinful reactions. Lower birth is another one. So here Mother Devahuti is telling, even such persons who are born in a family of dog eaters can perform Vedic sacrifices if they chant your holy name offenselessly. So this is, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about this offenseless chanting and how it elevates. This is 333.6. So Namadheya. So that's how it begins. Yannamadheya Shavananu Kirtanat. Yat Pravanat Yat Smaranat Api Kvachit. Svadopi Sadhya Savanaya Kalpate. Kutah Punaste Bhagavanu Darshanat. So she uses a kind of a logic to say nothing of the spiritual advancement of the persons who see the Supreme Person face to face. So darshanam of the Lord. Even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. If you see, all the angas are being described. Seeing, hearing, chanting, taking darshan, paying obeisances. That's what Prabhu is doing. Offers him obeisances and even remembers him. So Prabhupada says that the spiritual potency of chanting, hearing or remembering the holy name of the Supreme Lord is greatly stressed. So in that section, Prabhupada brings about the power of offenseless chanting. To sit in a Vedic sacrifice and to conduct it, you need to be born in a Brahmana family. But here Mother Devahuti is saying that a person chanting the holy name of the Lord is qualified if he offenselessly chants, which means he is fulfilling all the prerequisites for sitting in that place, because he is diminishing or he has eradicated his manifest sinful reaction of being born in a family of dog eaters. And therefore, he can perform Vedic sacrifices. Now, what are some of the other examples of manifest sinful reaction getting diminished by chanting the holy name. If we can think of any instance in the Shastra, in Bhagavatam, or any references from the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that even manifest sinful reactions can be eradicated. A soul in a non-human body getting elevated by chanting or by hearing. Any instances? Or any other personalities who were born in a very sinful background, they're getting reformed by devotional process. Mrigari. Very good. Mrigari. So can you describe what happens?
Mrigari always likes to kill animals, leave them like he doesn't kill him, but he tortures them like he just until the yeah. So then they get tortured and then killed. So then one day Narad Muni was coming and then he saw and then he was like he was finding who did all that because so then he saw Mrigari and then. And then Narad Muni told him, why are you doing that? And then he's like, because all my ancestors do it, everyone does it, so I also do it.
So here's the point. He's born already in a family of hunters.
Yeah. And then Narad Muni tells him that, like, if your ancestors do it, then you don't have to do it. And then he's like, because I have to sustain my family. So then what should I do? Then Narad Muni said, you can do, there are also other works.
So what's the key instruction Narad Muni gives about
He gives that, like, he told him to chant the name of like Mara Mara Mara.
He asked Mrigari to chant the holy name. And Mrigari was so sinful that the word Rama he did not utter then. But Narad Muni did. He said, okay, at least chant Mara Mara Mara. So here is an example of
a manifest sinful reaction, being born in a family of hunters, engaging in sinful activities, killing, half-killing, and the reactions of all of that, getting eradicated by the intervention of a spiritual master, Narad Muni. Then he getting instructions from him, hearing the holy name from him, and still not able to chant the holy name properly, and then Narad Muni, expert preacher, twists the name, and that's why you see the name is powerful, that even if chanted unintentionally, so he goes on to become what does he become? Mrigari becomes a saintly person. So that's how you see the transformation happening. Okay, any other example of an animal getting out of the animal's body by chanting? Anyone else? Jadabharat, okay. From a deer's body, he become. What about? Yeah. Kajin. Very good. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda saving Jagai and Madai. So Jagai and Madai, they did all the sinful activities which is there. Yamaraja couldn't keep an account of it. Chitragupta ran out of memory problem. He couldn't keep a track of the sinful activities they have done. So that is the mountain of sinful activities and reactions. Then Nityananda Prabhu approaches them, and we know the pastime which was discussed by Prana Prabhu. So by the intervention, then asking them to chant, and then they get the mercy, and then they are elevated. Okay. What other example is there? From the Bhagavatam, an animal calling out Gajendra's pastime. So Gajendra's pastime is again being born in an elephant body, cursed. It's a manifest reaction. So that is getting eradicated by helplessly calling out to the Lord. Trying to remember one of the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Eta Siddhatmakam Purushayadi Bijaya Pareshayabi Dimahi. So, Gajendra pleads to the Lord in a helpless situation, and despite the fact that the crocodile is crushing his leg and the blood is coming out, he's almost at the verge of losing his life. When Garuda comes and he sees the Lord at a distance, he picks a flower and offers to the Lord. And it is said that the Lord was feeling Garuda was not going fast enough, and so sends the chakra ahead. Chakra goes, cuts the head of the crocodile, so both are getting delivered by calling out to the Lord in a helpless situation. Okay, any example from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Animals in the Jharkhand forest getting delivered by hearing the chanting of none other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sorry? Dog of Sivananda Sen. That is more of eating prasadam, but also anyway, and the association dog would have heard the holy name also. Exactly, very good. The prostitute distracting Haridas Thakur. Very powerful point. She was born in that particular body, doing that profession, because of her past or present sinful activities. All she does was to seduce Haridas Thakur, goes to his kutir, sits and shows different poses. But Haridas Thakur is fixed in chanting. As a byproduct, she didn't go with the intention to get purified. She had a different intention, but just by hearing the holy name from the mouth of Namacharya, created a transformation in the heart, and of course she did start chanting. So that's a manifest sinful reaction getting eradicated and transforming in that same life. And so after that she gives her wealth to the Brahmana, shaves up the same place where Haridas Thakur chanted. She has tulsi plant and she sits and she chants. Haridas Thakur leaves the town and goes to a different place. Very good. Another example in Chaitanya Charitamrita that came to my mind, which I saw, is Mahaprabhu, when talking to Chandkasi is a Muslim ruler, he says that your followers are chanting Krishna, Rama and Narayana. So the moment Mahaprabhu hears these words from Chandkasi's mouth, he says, you are glorious. Your sinful reactions are eradicated because you have chanted the name of Krishna, Nama and Narayana. Chandkasi is getting complaints about Mahaprabhu. So when describing the situation to Mahaprabhu, this is what it says. I know that Narayana is the supreme god of the Hindus, and I think you are the same Narayana. This I feel within my mind. This is Chandkasi telling Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu is moved after hearing the Kazi speaking so nicely, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him and smilingly spoke as follows. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna from your mouth has performed a wonder. It has nullified the reactions of all your sinful activities. Now you have become supremely pure. Because you have chanted three holy names of Lord Hari, Krishna and Narayana, you are undoubtedly the most fortunate and pious. So here, imagine the good fortune of Kazi, seeing Mahaprabhu in front of him, being in his presence, and then uttering the holy name unintentionally, and Mahaprabhu touches him and then gives him this famous statement about how you are pious, you are elevated because you have said three names of the Lord, Hari, Krishna and Narayana. And what is another living example other than the Shastras? What other living examples we see within our society? What did Srila Prabhupada do? He converted the hippies to happies. Isn't that a proof of the holy name for removing the manifest sinful reactions? What do you think? So, from different backgrounds, he grows to the west. He sees people from different backgrounds, so that's how he sings. The place is filled with Rajo and Tamoguna. And I have complete faith in the holy name, and I have complete faith in the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Rajas Tamo Guner, forgot the prayer, the Markine Bhagavad Dharma. And his other prayers, he will say that this is a place, it's like the headquarters of Maya, where passion and ignorance are very prominent and the people are overcome by this. If you so desire, my Lord, you can take them out. I have complete faith in the power of your holy name and the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he does it later on when devotees asked, who gave us the piety? Prabhupada says, I gave you the piety. And then he transforms it, and a few days ago the concept of magician was discussed, and when Prabhupada was challenged, this is my magic, transforming all the hippies into happies. So there also we see the manifest sinful reaction getting removed by the chanting of the holy name. Now the second effect of devotional service and chanting of the holy name is auspiciousness. It brings auspiciousness, Shubhada. Now, I heard Balaram Shakti Prabhu describing Nectar of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a book of definitions. It defines what auspiciousness means. It defines what pure devotional service means. It defines what is sinful reaction, what is the root, everything. The definitions are there, you can't get it wrong. So what does auspiciousness mean? If we want to qualify something as auspicious, it has to meet four criteria. It must benefit everyone. So that's what here we are saying, Jagan Mangalam Anjasam. First criteria is benefit everyone. It should attract everyone. Third, it must produce good qualities. And fourth is, it must bestow supreme happiness. Okay, let's see who's got it right. What's the first one? Okay, hold on. First one is benefit everyone. What is the second one? After benefit, you attract, okay? Then after attracting, bhakti goes in, chanting of the holy name goes in, then what happens? It produces good qualities. And then after that, it bestows supreme happiness. This famous verse, Bhakti Paresha Anubhava, Viraktir Anyatra Chaha Triha Eka Kalaha Prapadyamanasya Yash Ashnuta Tush Tushtihi Pushtihi Shudapayo Anugasham. So just as when we eat, we taste the food, we feel nourished and our hunger goes away. So here for us to remember, benefits everyone, attracts everyone, produces good qualities and bestows superior happiness. So just imagine, if you look at in our bookshelf, we also have this pictures about Harinam. There's a whole bound books. Have you seen any one of those? You can see all of that. Benefits everyone, attracts everyone. You see people going like their eyes are wide open, and we have Sankirtan devotees here. Attracts everyone. When that is happening, they will behave also in a nice way. It is producing good qualities in them. It is bringing that higher nature inside them, and it is bestow supreme happiness. In the recent discussion about how devotees reflected on their own experience in bhakti, some of them were sharing about when they go and give holy name to others, how they see the effect of the holy name on others, and that increases their faith. And these are the effects: benefiting everyone, attracting everyone, producing good qualities, and bestowing superior happiness. So the holy name does that. It produces the effect, and therefore, because it's meeting all the criteria, therefore it is all auspicious. That's why we call Shravana Mangala and Punya Shravana Kirtana. This is in 2.7.15 purport. The Lord's holy name is called Shravana Mangala. This means that one receives everything auspicious simply by hearing the holy name. In another place, Srimad Bhagavatam, this holy name is described as Punya Shravana Kirtana. It is a pious act simply to chant and hear all about the Lord. This is 2.7.15. The power of holy name, the auspiciousness is so great that once Narad Muni was chanting the glories of the Lord and Lord Shiva was hearing it. Okay. What is the characteristics of Lord Shiva, especially his neck? What is special about Lord Shiva's neck? Snake, okay. What else? It's blue in color. Okay. So Narad Muni is chanting the holy name. By the power of the holy name, that blue line gets removed. Then Mother Parvati walks in, and then she sees a person without the blue line in the neck, and then she thinks, is he my actual husband? Or? So that's how Nectar of Devotion describes it. And the second instance is given, example is given, how we used to have Lord Balaram's picture in the temple room. So Lord Balaram wears a blue dhoti. Now, upon hearing and chanting Krishna's name, his blue dhoti turns to white. And then the third example given is that of how river Yamuna turns into milk, and the cowherd girls, they start to churn it into butter. In other words, by spreading of Krishna consciousness or the glories of Krishna, everything became white and pure. Lord Shiva, Lord Balaram, and river Yamuna. Now, this bestowing of superior happiness, so happiness are also of three kinds, where you get happiness from material things, happiness from merging into the existence of the Lord, and then the happiness derived by through bhakti. So there are different gradations, and chanting of the holy name is of the highest category of happiness. So we've seen the power of holy name to eradicate sinful reactions, the power to bring auspiciousness. I've got something very powerful. Okay, so let me use this and still continue my sinful activities. Anyway, holy name is a big eraser. I can erase it. You see what is having, pencil and eraser. I've got a big eraser, holy name. I'm doing sinful activities, I use the eraser and erase. So this tendency is something which is very offensive. You are using the holy name in your service rather than serving the holy name. And this mentality is called Namno Balad Yasyahi Papa Buddhi. And this is one of the offense. And this tendency, even Mahaprabhu doesn't tolerate, and he warns Jagai and Madai. When delivering them, he makes a warning. Whatever sinful actions you have done, those reactions I am counteracting. But be very careful not to do them again. So that's what he says, and he warns. I'll read the section from His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj's Japa Reform Notebook. When Jagai and Madai were forgiven of all their sins as they took the holy name, Lord Chaitanya also said, "But now, no more sins. Whatever you have done is of no consequence, so you don't have to bother about it. But no more. Now chant Hare Krishna and be peaceful." So this mentality is being condemned by Mahaprabhu himself. And that is what Prabhupada discusses in the purport also. This tendency to consider the holy name to be mundane and to use the holy name to overcome one's commit sinful activities and then use the holy name to counteract the sinful activities and the sinful reactions. Again, go back and do the same thing. So this mentality of using the holy name as a means to come out of sinful reactions should be avoided. Now, this particular offense is described in the Harinam Chintamani. The remedy for this offense of this tendency is that one should chant in the association of devotees and take strong association of the pure Vaishnavas. So it's described like a bhakti as a pathway or a highway. You're traveling in the bhakti highway and you're having bhakti credits. But then the thieves of your previous sinful tendencies, and then your, as we saw, the desire, and then when you act on them, they rob you of the bhakti credits that you have. Now, how do you protect yourself from these robbers in the highway is by calling out and being in the association of pure Vaishnavas. So these pure Vaishnavas are like the powerful Kshatriyas who come and drive away the thieves and they protect you. So taking shelter of pure Vaishnavas, calling out to them for help, being in their association, taking their guidance, and chanting. And that's how Harinam Chintamani says, the Vaishnavas are like the guards. When they come, the highwaymen flee. Now, the final bit I wanted to touch upon is the stage of clearing, or Nama Bhasa stage, where you're not offensive, but you're trying to move from offensive stage to pure, but then there is an intermediate stage, which is Nama Abhas, which is like a reflection. So Abhas is described as a dim light. So holy name is bright light, Shuddhanam, then Abhas is like the dim light. So what is covering this holy name from manifesting its full potency. Harinam Chintamani describes that there is a fog and there is a clouds. The fog is that of ignorance, which we saw earlier. The fog of ignorance. So, you're ignorant of the power of the holy name. You're ignorant of the nature of the holy name. You're ignorant of the nature of the Supreme Lord. You're ignorant of your position, your actual position as a servant of the Lord. And you're also ignorant of the process. You are thinking that the process of chanting and the goal which the chanting is going to give me are different. You are ignorant of that. You are thinking that these two are different. Whereas the process and the goal are the same. Now the remedy of the fog of ignorance is that one must understand the tattva of the holy name. So the holy name is not a mundane sound vibration. Harinam Chintamani describes that the holy name is Suddha Sattva. It is in Suddha Sattva. The Lord, His form, His name, His qualities, His abode, they are all in the Suddha Sattva platform and they cannot be contaminated by the material modes. So one has to have this Tattva Gyan. And one has to have a clear understanding that the process of chanting will lead me to pure chanting. The process and the goal are the same. It's not that I will chant to get material benefits, which is enjoyment tendency, which is bhoga, or I will chant the holy name to get myself liberated from this material world, which is the tendency to become a tyaga, bhoga tyaga. We don't use the holy name for either one of these. So one has to have a clear understanding and clear knowledge. That will remove the fog of ignorance. Then there is the cloud of anarthas, where you have an inner thirst for material objects. You want to get them, accumulate them, and you have a thirst to enjoy through material things. So that's one anartha. Then there is a general weakness of heart is there. This is just a general tendency, and this weakness of heart will lead you to do more specific, getting attracted to a very specific object. And the third aspect of anartha is committing offenses. So then these cloud and the fog are slowly getting removed, then the dim light comes through. And this, when we see the life of Ajamila, he was chanting in this particular stage where he was not intending to call the Lord, but he was calling his son, but it was offenseless. And therefore it gave him up to the point of getting liberated. We don't see that Ajamila exhibited all the symptoms of bhava and prema. No, he got liberated. So that's how you see that Namabhas is so powerful that it can liberate you, but it does not give you pure love of God. Now, there is a description of the distinction between the abhas. There are two kind of abhas, or the dim light. One is the light is coming from the source, but it is very dim. And the other one is a reflection of the light as you are seeing it. Now, out of these two, the direct light which is coming, but it is dim, that is more potent. And if one is in that particular stage, the holy name will actually remove that. And when you chant consistently, anudinam adara, that's how Nectar of Instruction says. Even if my tongue is affected by jaundice, I will constantly, daily chant the holy name. And then this dim light is called as chaya. That will remove further blocks. But the other one, which is the pratibimba, or the reflection, reflection is something that you have to avoid, because in the reflection you may think that you have got the pure name, but you are maintaining your material desires and you are using your holy name to achieve that. That's the bogya. Or the other aspect of reflection is the tendency to think that I will attain Brahman and I will merge with the form of the Lord using the holy name. Which means I am thinking that the goal and the process are different. The two tendencies of bhoga and tyaga come from this. Thinking that the goal and the process are different. And this particular tendency of thinking that I will merge in the form of the, in the effulgence of the Lord using the holy name, and I will enjoy the material world using the holy name, and these two have to be definitely avoided. It is said that when you chant like that, then that particular tendency will increase. So it should be avoided. For that we need to have guidance of the spiritual master and the other Vaishnavas. Now, how do I put all of this into my daily japa practice? I've understood a lot of theory. How do I put it into practice? His Holiness Satchinandan Maharaj, he says that one has to chant. Before chanting, one has to enter into that awareness of relationship with the Lord. Enter into the awareness of that relationship with the Lord. For that, he says that before chanting every day, you can repeat these statements, or like affirmation statements. So Maharaj says, chant with the Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means, what is my relationship? Who am I? Who is Lord? What is my relationship with the Lord? And what is my relationship with the material world? So, because we're doing it as, I thought we can, I'll say the statement and you can repeat. So these statements you can repeat before you begin a japa to enter the awareness. I am an atomic particle of consciousness. And Krishna's eternal servant. I am an atomic particle of consciousness. And Krishna's eternal servant. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. The material world is a prison house meant to reform my absent-minded tendencies. The material world is a prison house meant to reform my absent-minded tendencies. So this is how we practically put into you put into practice what you've learned by saying this, entering into the awareness of relationship with the Lord. And Maharaj urges us to infuse your practice with this connection, thereby avoiding the offense. So you don't think that I can enjoy the material world, you don't think that I can become one with the Lord. All of that is getting eradicated. Only thing is, we must remember to make these affirmations and enter into this awareness before we begin our japa or kirtana also. Alright, I'll summarize quickly. We saw the effect of the holy name, how it eradicates manifest sinful reactions, unmanifest, all of that. We saw how it bestows auspiciousness. Then we saw the tendency to use the holy name to remove sinful reactions. And finally we saw the nama bas stage, looking at the clearing stage of chanting. I'll conclude here and see if there are any questions on what we discussed. Or any comments. Oh yes, the kutam bijam. Yeah, the seed of sinful reaction is still there. Now, the reactions are in two forms. One is manifest and the other one is unmanifest. So manifest, we talked about how there is a body that I already have is a manifest. So what Prabhu is asking about this unmanifest form, it is there in the form of a seed. Sinful tendencies are there in the form of a seed. How do we understand this is? We see young children, whether they have good tendencies or bad tendencies, it's inside them in the form. And as and when they grow, you will see it may not manifest as a specific action, but it will have a general tendency towards that particular activity. Dhanudhar Swami explains that if a person is having the sinful desire, the seed of cheating or thievery is there, he's stealing. It's in the form of a seed. So initially it won't manifest as stealing. It will be in the form of his general tendency towards cheating or telling lie. It will be in that. And further, when it manifests, it will be in the form of actually doing the activity of stealing, thievery. And that's when the seed, then it sprouts, and then it gives the actual reaction. Now, when you act on it, what happens is, it again produces two effects. It produces a manifest reaction, so when you steal, you're caught by the police, you get a manifest reaction of going to jail. But the hidden, in the background what's happening is, because you've done once, that proclivity to steal again is again there. So that's the two effects of that. An action produces a manifest reaction, and it also produces an unmanifest reaction of next time you want to steal. Now, how do you break the cycle? It's described in the Waves of Devotion. Maharaj explains that when you're getting those sinful desires and you're getting pushed, you tolerate it by thinking of the Lord and the instructions of the spiritual master, and you don't act on them. So when you don't supply fuel to the fire, it will die away. So when you don't act on those sinful desires, instead you focus on the Lord, meditate on the Lord, or carry out any of the devotional processes, you follow the instruction of the spiritual master, then they won't get any nourishment, and slowly these desires will also go away. That is how you break the cycle. Otherwise you'll be in the cycle of seed, then you have proclivity, then you have a specific desire, you act on it, then you get a manifest reaction, then again you want to do, you're like... So you break it by resisting the temptation. When those desires come, engage in something positive, you don't act on them, and slowly they will go away. Is that the right thing? Yes. Yes.
The seeds lying in the ground, and it still is alive, because our form of getting the result is to grow into a sprout and then into a tree, and then the result of devotional service. But the opposite side, the seed, is lying in the form of sin. So, if you want to burn up the completely burn the seed of sin, is through chanting her holy name. So sometimes the seed is still lying there, and we think it's dead, but still lying there, as it's not burnt up yet. So like when, I know we used to do fire yagya in Mayapur, and they use the same fire yagya to light the fire the next day. So they still have a little bit of fire inside. So it's not a big endeavor to start the fire again because it's a big hassle. So that fire is already inside. So similarly, the seeds lying there, even though we're chanting, but like you were talking about different stages of chanting, so it's not burnt away. So to be able to completely burn the seeds away, then we have to check, actually, are we burning the seeds or not? So that's developing the taste. Are we developing the taste of chanting? You hear sometimes devotees say, I'm chanting for so many years, I haven't felt the ecstasy, because we are mixing the offenses. They're not clarifying. So the seed's still lying. So to completely burn the seeds away, you have to check it, poke on it, and see if it's burned or not. It's ashes, totally gone. That in the form of a seed lying there, but we have to make sure that the actually seed is not going to sprout, to make sure that it's ashes. That's that pure chanting form. Like I was just saying, you already explained it, I just explained a little bit. Thank you.
Conclude here, and you have a doubt, Madhuri? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जाय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय समवेत भक्तवृंद की जाय